in verse 49, we are told, He, God, cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, and indignation, and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. I believe that the evil angel has been sent against the state of Florida because of its rebellion against God, and that God is warning His people of His coming judgment. Following the vision of March 14th, I had a dream which unveiled more coming judgment. What I had began seeing was so horrifying, my heart was pounding as though it was going to burst out of my chest. I was looking at the ocean, and as I was looking at it, there was a tremendous disturbance of the ocean surface. It was as though some large object had just sunk. The waters were bubbling and churning in this area as the sinking object was engulfed. The only thing I can compare it to is what the movies have portrayed of the sinking of the Titanic. I actually never saw what was sinking because all that was left was the bubbling and churning water. Just as I awoke, the Spirit of God spoke to me. This is Key West, Florida. I was so shocked and awestruck by what I had seen, I could hardly believe it. The thought that something so catastrophic could happen to cause a whole city to sink was beyond anything I could imagine. And so it is with sincere warning that I speak to the people of Key West to repent and turn to God before it's too late. As God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, so also will you be judged. I recently attended a meeting in Kentucky where an evangelist prayed for a mighty wave of revival to sweep our country. One of the things that he said was that God would not judge the United States until the country turned completely away from the outpouring of God's glory. As he began praying, he said something that really hit a note in my heart. He prayed that God's mighty revival would sweep this nation from the Florida Keys to Maine. When I heard the words, the Florida Keys, my heart cried out for mercy for the people of Key West and the surrounding area. May God hear our hearts' cries and send His prophets and preachers and evangelists to warn the people in the Florida Keys to repent and to receive the so great salvation that is available to all through His Son, Jesus Christ. On April the 8th, the Lord began speaking to me again in a vision. I saw a young Jewish man wearing a yarmulke. The Lord began telling me that He was going to call the Jewish people out of South Florida before the destruction, and that He was going to raise up someone to go to them to deliver the warnings of coming judgment. Since the time of that vision, I've been waiting upon God to schedule a divine appointment for me with the person He has chosen to help those among the Jewish people willing to heed the warning and to move out of South Florida. A few days after the dream about Key West, on the morning of Friday, April 16th, I was praying and the Lord spoke two things to me. He said, I will shortly purge the land of Sodomites. Then He said, I want to make your house a house of prayer. On this same day, I attended a meeting where the guest speaker was a prophet of God, and I had never seen this man before, nor had I ever heard of him. However, during the word, he said that the Lord had been speaking two things to him. First, that God would shortly purge the land of Sodomites. And second, that God wanted to make our houses houses of prayer. I remember being totally awed and excited at God's confirmation. During the days of these revelations, I was interceding for some friends of mine who live in the West Palm Beach area. And as I was praying one morning, God began showing me soon coming destruction of several major cities in Florida. I began seeing in a vision the city of West Palm Beach. And as I was watching the city, a tidal wave came upon it, completely wiping it out. The same thing happened to Daytona Beach. A large tidal wave came into the city, wiping it off the face of the earth. Additionally, God spoke to me and told me that Miami, Florida was going to be completely obliterated. Also, the Lord spoke to me that there was going to be a major earthquake in Tampa, Florida. In the vision, I saw Tampa filled with many collapsed buildings, and sadly, many people were trapped alive in them. I don't know if you understand the relationship here, but Tampa is on the left side of the leg, and fanning out on the east side of the leg of Florida are these places he's speaking about. In other words, they're kind of equidistant from Tampa in different directions, all towards the east from Tampa. My final vision regarding Florida came around the 18th of April. In this vision, I saw the hand of the Lord coming down and preventing the waters from coming any further up the state. I felt the Lord speaking that there was going to be a flooding of the lower portion of the state, but he was not going to allow the waters to go beyond his set boundary. I also felt the Lord saying that when we witnessed the stopping of the floods, we were going to know that it was the hand of God that stopped them. During the time that the Lord was showing me these judgments, I began hearing of others who either had heard or were hearing similar warnings from God. Is there room left for repentance by all Floridians? I honestly do not know. However, I do know that God is calling each one of us individually to turn our hearts back to Him in repentance. We must be willing to give our lives totally to God before it is too late. For those willing to repent, the day of the Lord will be great. For those unwilling to repent, the day of the Lord will be terrible. And so it is that I call all men, women, and children in the state of Florida, from the least to the greatest, to humble yourselves before God and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and turn from your wicked ways before it is too late. Well, as you know, for some time I've been saying that God is going to move people before the greater judgment of this world war that's coming. God's going to move people around. As you know from the prophecies that we've seen, much of the coastal states, there's going to be a lot of destruction in the coastal states. I believe God's going to be moving Christians where He wants to move Christians. I believe one way He's going to do that is by these judgments. These smaller judgments that are happening are going to be moving Christians, and I might say Jews, which is what this man shared right here. Let me share with you something that's a little shorter that's concerning the same thing that I've been saying. And as a matter of fact, it's funny because I got this one day. I talked to Kathy the next day, and Kathy had a dream or vision that confirmed this and confirmed what I've been saying to you, was that God was about to start moving people out of areas where there's going to be total destruction. And like I said, I got this one day and that the next. He said, on Tuesday night, August 11th, in 98, the Lord gave me the following experience and warning. My wife and I had gone to bed around 11 o'clock. When I went to bed, I noticed that instead of feeling tired or sleepy, I was wide awake. My wife fell asleep almost immediately, and I lay there for about 30 to 45 minutes when suddenly I could feel something coming towards me. I was struck with terror as I realized that the thing that was coming toward me was a massive earthquake, and it was getting ready to hit Florida. I knew that it had not hit yet, but that it was coming. I was so frightened that I almost grabbed my wife and shook her awake. I was wanting to yell, "Connie, wake up. An earthquake is coming, and we've got to get out of the house." I knew that the whole state of Florida was going to be affected. I began crying out to God to save and to protect His people from the coming destruction and devastation. It was then that I heard these words, "I am sending the earthquake to get my people out of the state of Florida." When I heard this, a peace and a calm came over me. As I was lying there and thinking of what I had just experienced, I thought to myself, why didn't I get Cindy, our youngest daughter, out of the house? I felt the Lord speak that the reason I didn't get her out of the house was because she would not be here when the quake hit. Cindy is a student at Troy State University, Alabama, and will be leaving for school in just a few days. Very possibly this earthquake will strike while she is away at school. Well, I discovered something that I don't think this man understood or knew. I looked at the name Connie and Cindy. Connie escaped the earthquake, and he wondered why he didn't warn Cindy and get her out of the house before the earthquake happened. Well, Connie means constancy. Constance is the word. And it means constancy or stability. That's what Connie means. But Cindy means just the opposite. It's from the word Cynthia, and it is the name of a pagan god, a Greek pagan god, Artemis. Cynthia and Artemis are two names that are synonymous. The Greek goddess, the sister of Apollo, the symbol being the moon, the Romans' equivalent of Diana. In other words, idolatry. This the word Cindy just symbolizes idolatry, you know. There's two different people here. There's the person who is stable in the Lord and those who are idolaters in the world, in the Lord, which is running after the world, the things of the world, the thoughts of the world, loving the world. That's idolatry. The covetous man, the Bible says, is an idolater, right? So that's what I felt like the Lord showed me about that. The Lord began speaking some things to me about this warning that really needed to be weighed heavily. In the experience, I was not sleepy. The Lord spoke to me that I was a type of the ministry that is awake in this hour and is alert to what is coming. My wife represents the church, which is asleep and needs to be awakened by the ministry and the warning to flee. I believe that this is a warning of a literal earthquake that is coming. I also believe that we will witness a massive exodus of Jews as well as Christians from the state of Florida. For several years, the Lord has shown me that we will see great exoduses from various parts of the United States and the rest of the world as prophets, angels, and other messengers warn of coming judgments. Jesus himself said that the last days would be as the days of Lot. There were many other things that are recorded about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that need to be taken into consideration as we meditate on these scriptures. One of these elements is that of the exodus from the place coming under judgment. In other words, Lot was called out of Sodom before the judgment fell. And of course, God still deals that way with his people who are alert, obedient, and so on. A few days after this word, I received a phone call from Pastor Tim Wetzel of Olive Branch, Mississippi. He told me that the prophet Michael Ratcliffe had been to his church three times in the last few months and had warned his congregation that a killer quake was getting ready to hit the United States. This quake would strike at the New Madrid Fault and would trigger quakes in other parts of the United States. Pastor Wetzel told me that he had done some research on the New Madrid Fault, which is located in the southeastern part of Missouri, or at least it starts there. And I had heard a little bit of what he'd shared from an article I had read in a Reader's Digest several years ago. The New Madrid Fault is the location where the strongest earthquake to ever hit North American continent occurred. Three separate quakes hit with what would register today as an 8.0 or more on the Richter scale. Pastor Wetzel told me that witnesses to the quake said that the ground became like a rolling sea with ground waves reaching heights of 6 feet in the air. I remember reading that breaks in the ground were so great that people living in the area felled trees and then slept in them to keep from falling into the earth. The Mississippi River also rolled backwards and wiped out many of the islands where pirates used to hide. Ships were destroyed and whole crews were lost from the violence of this change in the river. The quakes were strong enough to ring church bells all the way down to New Orleans. When I was forewarned about the coming earthquake, as I mentioned before, I heard the Lord speak to me that he was sending the earthquake to get my people out of Florida. I believe that this refers not only to the Christians, but also to the Jews. Recently, I heard on our local news that the Jews have won a settlement of over $700 million against a company that kept back money from Holocaust survivors. I then learned that the state of Florida has one of the largest populations of survivors of the Holocaust, over 15,000 Jews. I believe that the Jews worldwide are getting these monies returned to them in order to help them make their trip back to Israel. This is similar to how the Jews were given riches by the Egyptian people before they left Egypt. At 3 a.m. on the morning of August 20th, 1998, after several days of crying out to the Lord, I was awakened and told to buy earthquake insurance. Listen to this now. I had to work just half of a day, so after work, I immediately headed for the insurance company. When I walked into the office, I told the secretary that I had a rather unusual request, one that they probably didn't get very often. When I told her that I wanted to find out how to get some earthquake insurance, she said that I was definitely right. They had had requests for insurance for hurricanes, but never requests for insurance for earthquakes. After all, who ever heard of a of Florida being earthquake prone. She then went to talk with one of the other ladies in the office, but as she did, she turned to me and said, "You do know that your homeowner's policy does cover volcanoes, don't you?" I told her that I didn't know that until she had informed me, and I have since discovered that my policy did not cover volcanoes. However, after I got earthquake insurance, I found that with earthquake coverage, I also got coverage from damage done by a volcanic eruption. The interesting thing about this was that the Lord had spoken to me earlier and told me that the major earthquake that is coming will set off volcanic activity along with it. In a vision, I saw a city in the northwest suddenly covered by lava. This city sat at the base of a volcano and was in the direct path of the lava flow. There was no time to escape from the lava, and everyone in the city was killed. And when the other lady came out of the office, she said that she wasn't quite sure how to go about getting earthquake coverage. She suggested that the first step would be to contact the company that I have a homeowner's policy with. So I headed home to call Nationwide Insurance. Their office is located in Pensacola, Florida, about 50 miles from where we live. The agent there said that I was the second person to call and ask for earthquake insurance. She wanted to know if I lived on a fault, and I told her that I didn't know, but that we had had a couple of quakes hit about 50 miles north of us, and I wanted to be prepared. She said, "Oh, you mean the ones in Brewton, Alabama?" I said, "Yes." Then she said that the second quake had actually shaken her home. The second quake hit in October of 97. I then asked her how much coverage would cost, and she said it would be about $10 and definitely not more than $20. I have earthquake coverage, and I would strongly urge pastors to suggest their congregation to buy earthquake insurance. I know that God is well able to protect our homes just as he did Rahab's when the walls of Jericho fell. I believe in pleading the blood and in the protection offered by the covenant. I also believe that the Lord can tell you to buy earthquake insurance, just as much as he can tell Lot to get out of Sodom. Finally, my prayer for all my readers is that the Lord will give each of you the wisdom from above to know what to do. That wisdom is yours for the asking. And I know from experience that God won't leave you in the dark. Now, I've preached that we don't need insurance because we got assurance from God, right? And let me explain something. I believe that the man's right in a way. People trust in their insurance, and they fear what might happen in the future because they do not believe in a sovereign God, and they don't believe that they have a covenant that covers this. And we do have a covenant that covers this. God has richly blessed us because we didn't have insurance. We have generally ripped off quite a few insurance companies. It was not to my doing. It was to God's doing. He bought my house with insurance money, bought my car with insurance money. It was all paid for. He told me he was going to pay for everything in Florida when we came to Florida, and he did that, and it was not to my doing, it was to his doing. It was not my plan. I didn't sue anybody. But there's something else now. I believe that God could use this to rip off the insurance companies and to move people out of Florida and into housing away from Florida. I believe he could use this. I'm not saying that God is going to tell you to buy earthquake insurance. He might. I'm not saying he's going to do that. Here's something else that the Lord pointed out to me. People expect a great revival, and some people think this revival is that revival that's been prophesied, this one that's happening here. I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord has shown me that whenever God prophesies something that's coming down the road, the devil always first sends a substitute. For instance, if you go back in Genesis, the seed of the woman was prophesied to crush the serpent's head. So what happened? The first thing was the devil sent a substitute. A virgin birth, a son of God born to a woman, back at the Tower of Babel. It was the story of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Tammuz was the rebirth of God in the flesh. He was a virgin birth son. What happened? And that was way back there. You think that the devil possibly was trying to fulfill the prophecy, and that this mystery Babylon religion has been passed on down through generations and through different names, but the same gods, Baal and Shamush and all these other people, they all are the same God. It's been passed on down there. There was a fake virgin birth before the real one came along. I believe this happens quite often. I believe we're seeing right now a fake revival. Has none of the signs, of a revival, of a biblical revival. It has many signs that are not biblical. But I believe we're about to see a real revival. Do you know when there's been real revival? Think back in history when there's been great revival. Think back in other nations even when there's been great revival. It's always been because there was great trouble. Because God's people to run to Him. I remember an earthquake down, I believe it was Guatemala or someplace like that. There was an earthquake that shook them pretty bad. And they said right after that, there were people out in the middle of the streets kneeling down and praying to God. Probably people that have never prayed to God in their life without their praying to God, you know? These kind of things that are happening, I believe, are going to bring revival. You know what? One way that God brings revival, I believe, is when people see that some people were not touched by these horrendous judgments. Suppose, for instance, that an earthquake hit this town, and I believe there is one going to hit this town. I had a sister reveal to me many years ago her vision of an earthquake that hit Pensacola. She saw in her vision people putting boards across big cracks in the road in order to get around, and Pensacola was generally leveled. She saw the governor flying over in his plane and saying that he was going to send help, and God spoke to this lady and said, "But you won't need his help." Now, what God meant by that, I don't know. But I know this. God can wreck every house around this house right here, and this house still be standing. You know what? I think things like that, signs like that, that God has done throughout history to preserve His people, has brought revelation to the heathen, and it's also brought great revival. You say, well, what if God would tell me to go buy earthquake insurance right before the... In other words, I wouldn't be paying a lot out right before the earthquake hit. The earthquake hit, I got paid off, I got to move out of the state, I got to go buy me a new home somewhere in Tennessee or whatever, you know. Hey, praise God. I would put that beyond God. You know, the Egyptians were plundered by Israel when they were taken out, right? God's plundered Egypt with me through insurance money. Not because I bought any insurance. I didn't have any insurance. But it was the other guy's insurance that God blessed me with. So, you know what I think? I think we should believe God that we're delivered from the curse. I think everybody here ought to be seeking God about these things. Where does God want you? What does He want you to do? Some people, you know, if you read, for instance, in the book of Hebrews, let me point something out to you in the book of Hebrews. Some people say, oh, we Christians, we're not going to go through any trouble, you know. Other people say, oh, they've got a persecution complex. That's all they see. We're going to have persecution, and we're going to be killed, and we're going to be killed for Christ. Let me point something out to you in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32, what shall I more say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, victory, right? Wrought righteousness, victory, right? Obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight aliens of armies, women received their dead by a resurrection. Now, draw a line right here, because he's fixing to enter into a new territory. All that was preservation, deliverance from the curse. Now, just draw your little line right here and watch what he says now. He says, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and an imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the earth. And these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us they would not be made perfect. What happened here? We got people that through their faith were totally delivered, and other people through their faith were brought through this terrible time of crucifixion, right? My theory on this is, that if you're already crucified, you don't need to be crucified. And if your faith is in Psalm 91 and the Word of God, which delivers you from the curse, and you've been crucified, you don't have to be crucified. We have to die to enter into life. When judgment comes, it comes to bring some people through crucifixion who haven't been there yet. You know what I'm talking about? Am I saying that everybody in here has already been? No, I'm not saying that at all. Nor am I saying I'm through with my crucifixion. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that God is going to preserve some people from it because they've already been through it. They've already denied their life. They've already died to self. They're going to be preserved. And their faith is in the Word of God. Other people's faith is not there. Some people have faith to die for Christ. We all got to die for Christ, one way or the other. We all got to die for Christ. You understand? You either got to die spiritually for Christ or you're going to die physically for Christ. But you got to die for Christ to enter into life. Some people's faith is the second step. They got to go through persecutions. They got to go through all these things. You understand what I'm saying? God is going to do something for His people in Florida. Some of them are going to totally escape it. Can you imagine how valuable my house would be, for instance, if three of my neighbor's houses were wrecked and mine wasn't touched? And what a witness for God it would be. Can you imagine how valuable my house would be? Hey, people with wrecked houses, they're always looking for a house, right? My house would be worth something. But I can also see that some people's faith is not there, but God would want to move them out of this state because of the coming greater destruction in World War III that's about to come on this state. I can see that God would move some of those people. He might say to them, go buy insurance. And they might do it just in time to plunder Egypt and walk out of here and go buy a house somewhere else. So I'm not putting either one of those scenarios past God. I am saying this. If you're buying insurance because you're trusting in insurance, you're just wrong. That's just wrong. That's just evil before God. That's just wrong. If you're buying insurance because you have to, because you're paying a note on your house, that's one thing. But if you're buying it because you trust in insurance, you don't trust in the future, and you don't trust in God, that's an affront to God. And God doesn't want to see that. But if you're not trusting insurance and you're trusting in God, and God says, hey, you go buy this earthquake insurance because there's an earthquake coming, and I'd like to pay you off handsomely so you can go buy a house somewhere else out of the danger zone. I can see God in that too. You know? The main thing is, where do you see yourself? And where do you think God wants you to be? I believe it's time to pray and find out. I really do. Because I believe judgment's coming. I believe that God is bringing these, you want to call them smaller judgments? They are smaller judgments. But I believe God is bringing these smaller judgments. I believe He's going to move Christians away from the coast. I believe He's going to move them away from more dangerous areas in the United States to prepare for a war that's coming that's going to obliterate a lot. I believe it's God. Listen, let me share with you one of Kathy's dreams that she had just last week, okay? And I had to quickly sketch it down. I wish she was here to share it with you. But it was a really good dream. She was living in a house in the suburbs. Word was that there was a flood coming. And she looked out the window of her house and she noticed the other house was moving. But she realized that it wasn't them that was moving, it was her house that was moving. And then she understood that her house was an ark and that the flood water was coming up. And the people that were in her house knew. She didn't know, but they knew this thing was coming. And they had been preparing for it. So the ark moved to a safe place. And it settled in a safe place. And she noticed there were embankments around the ark to keep this water from the ark. And the people who were in the ark began to pour clean water on the dirty water. You know, the dirty water of the flood. It was filthy, nasty water, the flood was, okay? They began to pour clean water on the dirty water, and suddenly the flood resided. Now we talked about the water, how that the water is two things. It's the curse and it's the blessing. We have authority by the Word of God, which is the water, to roll back the flood, right? At the same time, the flood is filthy, it's dirty, it's the curse, right? It's coming, but it is also coming to move some people out of the danger zone to a safe area. That's what she understood by this dream. She didn't know what I'm saying to you now. I never read to her what I just read to you just now. She didn't know that I'd been teaching that God was going to move people out of danger zones. You know, in the days, months, maybe even years ahead, He was going to move people out of the danger zone. She didn't know that, but she had this dream. It's very plain. This dream is very plain. That God is going to move some people to a safe area, and He's going to use a flood to do it. He's going to move them, whether you consider the flood literal or not, it makes no difference. He's going to use these judgments to move people to a safer place. That's plain. I think that's real plain. But at the same time, when these floods happen, God's people are going to have authority, like the people in the ark had, to pour clean water on the dirty water and make it back up. See, we've got authority to back it up. Earthquakes quite often bring floods, and they often bring tidal waves. I believe we have some literal earthquakes coming and some literal floods coming, and I agree with you that the storm, in many cases, is spiritual and it's not physical. However, look around you. We've been having some physical floods, haven't we? You know, Kathy just got flooded out of a house, 4 or 5 foot of water, in her house, in her car. I mean, it was little. It moved her. It moved her from that place. I don't know what would happen if she stayed in that place with what's coming, you know, but it moved her out of that place.
She's not going to live there anymore?
She didn't have any connection to that place anymore. She is free. She is unfettered, she said, because all of her stuff was in that place.
Where is she living now?
She's living in a friend's trailer right now, but she also feels free and not fettered to this place anymore. And I told her that was good because God didn't want to fetter any place, you know. But can you see the confirmations that we're getting here of what God is doing? I mean, you know what? I'm not suggesting any laws to anybody. I'm just saying it's time to seek the Lord, get in close relationship with the Lord, find out what the Lord wants for you, ask the Lord for direction, clear direction, ask the Lord for provision for the things that are coming. Because God, boy, God can provide. I look at, you know, my house. He provided. And this happened because of a prayer of agreement. I knew no kind of way how God was going to do this. I prayed the prayer of agreement that God was going to give me a house. And that's what I said. Give me a house in Florida. He did it. He used an insurance company to do it. Provision for the future. Because this man, and I believe him. I believe God did speak to him and tell him to do that. I'm not saying God's going to speak to everybody that way. Listen. When a revival breaks out, the real revival, I believe there's a real revival coming. And I believe it's going to come because of judgments that are poured out. And I believe there's going to have to be somebody here when this real revival comes. And I believe God's going to preserve some people right here when this real revival comes to be a witness for Him, because God's always going to have His people there to be a witness wherever trouble is. He's going to have His people there. But at the same time, He's going to be moving some people out. I don't know. God hasn't told me what to do. I don't have any insurance, and I'm in obedience to God because of that. He doesn't want me to trust an insurance.
So if you get up and you leave, where do you go, and how do you live, and what else, you know?
If you get up and leave. Well, see, this man's instruction was get insurance because of this earthquake, he's going to get paid off, and he's going to be able to move.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's not to say that a lot of people aren't just going to be killed in this earthquake. I mean, I believe they are. And, you know, whenever you have an earthquake like that on the coast, you have tidal waves too. And especially if it's a size earthquake that they're talking about, you're talking about tidal waves and you're talking about flooding, you know. But let me tell you, that has happened. You take over in China before the communists took over, and the Western evangelists had gone over there and spewed out that stuff. And the missionaries had gone over there and told them, don't worry about it. The rapture is going to happen. You're not going to go through persecution. You're not going to go through tribulation. You know what happened? There was a lot of pastors were killed. When the communists came in there and persecuted them and took them their homes and took them out of their homes and killed many of them, there was a lot of people killed. Those people were angry. You say, well, those weren't Christians. Well, maybe so. Makes no difference. They're still dead. That's what they had told them. And they didn't expect. They wondered, what's wrong with God? I mean, He didn't keep His word to us. They were angry. And some of them turned around and killed those preachers for that. And I believe it also happened in Sudan that a bunch of pastors were killed because the Arabs came in there and started slaughtering Christians. And as far as I know, it's still happening. And there was a lot of pastors killed who had not told the truth to their flock. You know, the Bible says the blood is going to be upon your hands. And if I tell you to warn people and you don't warn them, and folks, there are folks that are not warning. There are ministers who are not warning. They are not doing their job. And they don't know what the Scriptures are saying. They're not studying the Scriptures. They've got that prosperity theology. We're all going to fly away. There's never going to be any trouble, so on and so forth. They're lying to their flock. When the real things start happening, their flock go through persecution. You know what? I believe before this war happens, there's going to be persecution against Christians, real persecution against Christians. And there's going to be real rebellion in this country. And a lot of Christians are going to be rebelling. In Babylon, there was a great rebellion just before it was conquered by the bear. Now, the bear is coming again to conquer the eagle, which was Babylon. And I believe there's going to be a rebellion, just like Dimitri Dudeman said there's going to be a rebellion against the government. I don't know how big it's going to be, but it's going to be something. And I believe Christians are going to be persecuted. I mean, we can see the beginning. Look, in the last few years, what's happened? Why is... And they say there's no organized movement to burn down churches, but you know there's been a lot of churches burned down in the last 3 years. What do you think that's leading up to? And if it's not organized, obviously there's not anger out there against Christians. The news media is really promoting it. The movies are really promoting it. Every minister in the movies is a buffoon. Have you ever noticed that? They make Christians out to be fools every way they can possibly do it. This is going into people's minds. Why are people doing the things that they're seeing? The crime is going up. They're watching it in the movies, and they're going out and doing it. They're watching it in the movies now. They're watching how foolish the Christians are now. And their hearts are being turned against Christians right now. I believe there's going to be a big persecution against Christians. And when the judgment comes, it comes because of a persecution against Christians. What happened in Egypt when God came down on Egypt? He said, I've seen the hurt of my people. What was happening? There was a great persecution against the Jews in Egypt. Just before God came in there and judged Egypt and destroyed Egypt and took his people out, there was a great persecution. You know what? I believe we're about to come to a time of great persecution in the United States against Christians. Things are going to be done against Christians, and the world's going to look the other way, and they're going to be promoting it on the ultra-liberal news media. They're going to be promoting it. They're not talking much about the churches lately, but there's been a lot of churches been burned across this country. True. Well, no, there was an amazing number of them weren't black.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, they were saying that on the news the other night. There was an amazing number of them weren't black. You would think, well, this is just black. No, it's not. It's not just against black churches. It's not. Well, we need to hear from God because, you know, when these things happen, you could just attempt to resettle in the same place. If you're not listening to God, you're not talking to God, you're just doing your own will. You could just resettle in the same place after a disaster like this. They're going to give you plenty of money. You can just, you know. But the thing is, we're supposed to find out where we're supposed to be with God. You know, what God wants us to do. We're His servants. You know, we're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please Him. Let me share this other dream that Kathy had. She said she saw that people were being taken from the earth by a beam of light that came down and kind of gripped some people by their head, and they were taken from the earth in a beam of light. And she said that the Lord spoke and said that these people had the secret of planting corn, the pure seed. And you know, we've talked about the man-child being caught up to the throne of God and how that these people are going to minister the truth of God's word. They're going to replace an apostate ministry, much like Jesus came to replace an apostate ministry, and Moses came to replace an apostate ministry, and man-child throughout history have done that. He said it was by the head that they were taken. Because of their knowledge and understanding of their secrets of how to plant corn. And the corn was the pure seed. Now, I hope when Kathy comes she'll, you know, relate this to you better than I have. But I thought it was very interesting considering all the dreams that we've had recently about the man-child and also about the bride coming to maturity and so on and so forth.